be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Now remember, we have a hindsight of 2020. Peter didn't have that. He still
still trying to get a grip on what Jesus is telling them is going to happen. They did not yet understand that Jesus offered himself in our place. You see, Peter thought it would have to look like human success in order to be God's success. The truth is, he had good precedent. There was lots of that kind of belief floating around. It was a common perception that if you were a good person and a faithful person and followed the rules, that God would bless you with wealth and comfort and prosperity. I mean, look at the whole book of Job. It's based on all the criticisms of Job and so forth. They're all based on the assumption that if something bad happens to you, it's because you sinned and displeased God. And if you would please God, bad stuff wouldn't have happened to you. Now the truth is, that was true many years before Jesus. It was true in Jesus' day. It's still true today. There are still preachers out there today preaching what's sometimes called the prosperity gospel. That God intends for you to be happy and wealthy and successful and healed and not to have bad stuff happen to us. That is not what the Bible teaches us about being a Christian. Please understand that very, very clearly. God's success does not always look like human success. We may not get rich. We may not have lots of friends. Others may not think particularly well of us. They may make fun of us or dismiss us as those crazy religious people. Our churches may not grow. Our buildings may not look wonderful. We may struggle financially, individually, as a parish family. These things may come and go. They are not the barometer of our success in being followers of Jesus. That's not how we gauge how we're doing before God. Now, this is not a call to go pursue suffering and rejection and poverty and ugly buildings and so forth. That's not what I'm saying at all. Rather, it is to look to the fruits of God's work in our lives as the meter, as the measuring stick by which we judge our discipleship. A big grand church with a beautiful building may still be horribly unfaithful in its service to God and service to others. And I've seen little tiny churches that don't even have a building, but get together and are utterly devoted to serving one another and serving those around them, who I'm sure are far more pleasing to God than some grand cathedral full of people who don't have hearts of love and service. So what Jesus was trying to get across, what was so critical that he had to rebuke Peter publicly for, is to get us to get out of that human mindset that it has to look like human success in order to count to be a good thing. And remember that we are to put our minds on heavenly success. That we are to become more and more closely marked as disciples of Jesus. Come what may on the human side. Maybe good times, maybe bad times. That doesn't matter. That's not the point. Now, the wonderful thing is, and hear this carefully. The wonderful thing is, most of the time, for most of us, that life does afford us a reasonable amount of joy and happiness and comfort to get us through, right? I'm not saying that this is a call to live lives of abject suffering and poverty. I'm just saying to remember that that's not the standard by which we are to judge our lives and our service to God. We don't seek out that bad stuff. And we give thanks to God when the good things come. And we can enjoy a loving family and a loving parish community and a lovely place to live and a safe roof over our might be the way. I think the second thing Jesus wanted us to remember is that if we are going to be followers of him, we should expect no better than what he got. Right? If we are going to be his followers, we should expect to be treated in the way that he was treated. After this incident with Peter, and then Jesus rebuked Peter in front of the disciples, we're told that he went out and gathered all the crowds together. So now we're not just talking to the disciples, we're talking to all the gathered crowds. And Jesus says to them, if anyone would become my followers, let them deny themselves. That means to say, I'm not the most important thing in my life and in my world. But deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Take up their cross. That phrase should shock you. We hear it too often to get the shock value of it. But the cross is nothing less than the instrument of our death. And when we are to take up the cross as Jesus took up the cross, we are taking up the instrument of our own end. Specifically, the end of our desires in this world. To see success in these terms. And we have said that now, what is important to us is not the things of this world, the things of this life. But whatever draws us closer to God, whatever makes us better disciples of Jesus, whatever makes us more and more in his image is what we see. Now, again, this is not a call to simply be miserable or be desperately unhappy. Remember that God designed you for the life to which he has called you. And the only life in the end that will be truly satisfying and pleasing for you is that life for which you were made. And doing the things that God designed you to do. We may pursue all other kinds of things, thinking they're going to make us happy. And we have plenty of evidence that those things don't make us happy. The things that will please and satisfy in the end are the things that God has made you to do. And that may be as simple as getting a job so you can support your family. It may be as simple as cleaning the floors, or raising a child, or cooking dinner, or taking care of a friend who's having a crisis. Or it may be grand, preaching the stadiums like Billy Graham did. That's rare. Most of us clergy are called to much smaller things. But they're just as important in the eyes of God. What God cares about is that we each follow him as disciples of Jesus. Not that we do big grand things, not that we get a lot of attention, not that we have success in human terms. Those things are all secondary. So, the reason I think that Jesus was so desperately concerned about this that he thought it was worth rebuking Peter in such a public and dramatic way is he needed to shock them to get them to understand, I have to set aside my earthly metrics on this. I have to set aside that yardstick and realize that my service to God and our service to God as a parish community is not based in human success. That may or may not come. It may come for a while, it may go away for a while, who knows. But our service to God is based on the degree to which we become more and more his disciples. We become more and more a people made in his image. We are more and more the real and recognizable body of Christ, alive and working in the world. And then we come at it recognizing that we may get no better than what Jesus course of our lives. But that's okay. He has designed us to do it. And that's the only thing.